Thank you guys for your patience. We're waiting to see if other members would show up. So thanks, Nate. I hope we have a lot of people on the phone today. Anyway, I'd like to call this meeting to order and then start with roll call.
Chris Beck.
Here.
Fagelant.
Here.
Chad Olson.
Here.
Evelyn Pinsgaard. Leon Wu.
Here.
Melody Hughes.
Here.
Allie Englert.
Here.
Leslie Walls.
Here.
Jamie Ward.
Here.
Sue Mitchell.
Here.
Jesse Atencio. Chris Brooks.
Here.
Mercedes Anderson.
Here.
Matthew Mund. Jane Grossclose. Kim Eames. Susie Carson.
Here.
Stacy Howdeshell.
Here.
Samara Tabor.
Here.
Brandy Marrero.
Here.
Jeff Baxter.
Here.
Dino Jala. Jessica McCallum.
Here.
Brad Crick.
Here.
Nate Bauer.
Here.
Richard Machida. Is Janelle Merrifield.
Here.
Phil Jacobs.
Here.
Selena Brown. Trish Winters. Constance Heisinger. Jim Jones. Quorum was met.
Thank you guys for being here today. Let's move on to the agenda for today.
Chris, we can't hear you.
Sorry. Let's move on to the agenda for today. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
To move.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Moved and seconded. Anybody want to add anything to the agenda or change anything here? Seeing and hearing none. Okay, we have an agenda then. Thank you. Let's move on to the meeting minutes from last staff council meeting. They are in your packet. Do we hear a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Anybody want to add, change, comment on the minutes from last meeting?
Not a comment on the minutes, Chris, but on the agenda, it's part of the consent agenda. So when we're having one motion and one vote for the entire, all three items under that. Is that correct?
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. That works for me. Well done. Do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any comment, questions, additions?
I believe if someone would like, they can move to pull something out of the consent agenda and then treat it separately. So if there's something someone wants to discuss separate, they could do that now.
Hearing or seeing none? All right. All in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much. We'll move to item two. Status of pending actions, leaf share resolution. Where's that? I believe that one is still with the UA statewide administration at this point. Do you have any more?
No, we have not gotten an update since it went to them. So at okay. Staff Alliance, but next week,
yeah.
We'll ask for that.
Okay.
Hey, we can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, with the leave share resolution, it's with the – it went to statewide HR and the president, and so we'll ask for an update at our next staff alliance meeting, which should be, I think, next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday. So we'll ask for an update then. The emergency leave policy is kind of on here because come next fiscal year, there'll be a new emergency leave category for weather-related emergency leave. And we're just leaving that on here that, to make sure that that policy, once it's in place, that we're aware and everything is as we are expecting it to be. C, you want to talk about that a little?
Sure. So on C, if you guys remember from our last staff council meeting, the staff affairs committee put forth the resolution regarding the emergency changes to the layoff regulations, particularly concerned with the change from the grievance process to the review process. So we brought that to Staff Alliance, and Eric Seasted, the statewide HR chief human resources officer, was there. We had a bit of a back and forth where it seemed like it was still not really clear on his side why this would be troublesome to us. And so the outcome of that is that there will be a task force made up of representatives from all the universities reviewing the review process versus the grievance process side by side, and you know, identifying what the rights and the processes are under both. So Jeff Baxter has agreed to serve on this task force, and I believe they'll start meeting soon. They were just getting final names from all the universities, and then we'll have Jeff give us updates as that progresses. So thank you, Jeff, and Staff Affairs for raising that up, and it does look like it's moving forward under consideration at a system level. So very nice to see. I'll also say, in regards to that and some of the other things, I think every real change that's been proposed at Staff Alliance, at least in our term there, has come from committees at UAF that have pushed things forward and have gone to Staff Alliance. So you guys are definitely coming across as an active and on top of it group, and it's really nice to see. I feel very proud when we're at Staff Alliance that these things are coming from UAF. So thank you.
Okay. On to D is the term funded applicant policy, which we approved at Staff Council and was then sent back. It went to HR, the UAF HR office. For signature, and they say they signed it and send it back to the chancellor's office. And that, when we asked the chancellor about that, he wasn't sure, so he was checking on that. Maybe when he comes here this morning, we can ask him to see if he has an update on that. But if the policy is pretty much approved, we just haven't seen a final version yet.
And just as an update for those of you who weren't on staff council, because this is
an
old phone we've been picking over for a while now, this is a policy that when term-funded employees have their contract not renewed or not extended, they get put on the, it's called the layoff list, which is the same if an employee is laid off, they go on a list to be considered for internal positions. And if you hire someone off of that list, instead of, you know, a 90-day hold, you only have a 45-day hold. So it incentivizes departments to hire people back in, which has been pretty effective, at least in terms of layoffs in the last year. About out of, I think, 18 layoffs, 9 or 10 were hired back in off the list into the university. So this is current practice. Is for term-funded employees to go on this list, but it's not cemented in policy, and we just want to make sure that we see a signed policy in place before the chancellor leaves. Just so we know he supports it, but we'd like to have it firmly signed and set in place. So.
Yeah. It'll be nice to have it before July 1st, too. It gives everybody a little bit better feeling about that, but it sounds like it is, so... Okay, then I'll open it up to public comment. I know Gary's here.
Howdy. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Gary Newman. I served on staff council from, I think, 2001 until I retired just barely 2 years ago, as of last Friday, so I'm celebrating an anniversary of sorts. I'm glad to see you all here. I came in and thought that the staff council had grown a bit, but then I found you're sharing space with the faculty senate in effort to save money, and that's definitely needed. The university's got quite a challenge on its hands, and you folks are kind of in the front line to some degree, and I empathize with your challenges. I'm not here anymore, except I still do serve on Master Plan Committee as a community member now, which means I don't have to write reports for staff council. Richard Machida, however, has been diligent about coming to meetings, and I was hoping to see him here because I think he's joining my ranks fairly shortly. I have found something to do now and then after retirement, and right now I've found it's an opportunity to work at one of my passions that I never really had time to do full-time, and that was to run for the Golden Valley Board from a district which is basically downtown and out the Cease Expressway, Chena Hot Springs, and all the way out to Chattanooga. So there's still ways to be engaged even if you leave, and I'm still planning on having connections to folks here and there. Through that, I'm having a meeting tomorrow at the library to talk about Golden Valley stuff, and everybody seems to use electricity, and it's about a $250 million enterprise on an annual basis, so still has an impact, and I'm still trying to be engaged, and I thank you all for being engaged, and I want to pass out a little card in case anybody wants to come to the meeting tomorrow at Nolwine Library at 7 o'clock.
Cool. Thanks, Gary. Yeah, Gary was a long-serving member of staff council, a very active member, and chair of several internal committees and external committees while he was here.
And I actually found my old staff council.
So thanks for coming and visiting with us today. Appreciate it.
No, thanks. I'll sit and hear some of your challenges before I go off to my own.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Gary. Do we have anyone else for public comment? Anybody on the phone? Okay. I thought we were going to have one more person, but I guess she's not here, so that's okay. Let's move on to officer's report. I don't have a whole lot to report. A lot of this stuff is already in the agenda, so I'll leave those items and have them come up. The one thing that I do want to kind of just briefly touch on, the chancellor will mostly talk about budget when he gets here. You all might have seen that our legislature in Juneau has taken a two-week recess to what they say is hopefully kind of give a calm down period. I don't know if you saw the discussions in the House and Senate last week. They were pretty tense. What didn't go on recess, though, is the House and Senate Finance Committees. They are working on a budget at the moment, and that includes the education funding. A lot of stuff up in the air regarding the funding for education. That includes the funding for the university. And while it's clear that we're going to have some cut, it's at this point not clear yet how much. And so I'm hoping that the chancellor has more information about that a little bit later on. As far as the Planning and Budget Committee, which I'm on, it has not met yet. I have asked to see if that committee is meeting anytime soon, and I haven't heard a date or anything else yet about that. So,
I should add, too, on the budget bit with the legislature, the governor did submit another, like a round two budget, basically, to the legislature for their consideration. It's worth noting, in regards to the university, the biggest point to be aware of there is that the legislature, the budgets under consideration, had taken out salary increases for all state employees, including university. The governor's budget added it back in for union employees, where it had been already negotiated and was a contractual obligation, but not for non-represented employees.
That would be us.
That would be us. So if that goes forward, it's possible that we would see annual increases for represented employees of the university and not for non-represented, in which case we might want to be thinking of what else we could possibly do. If the legislature has allowed for zero money for that in our budget, what might we be able to come up with that works around that somehow, in terms of leave or personal holidays or any other type of non-monetary piece. It's frustrating that this is happening at a legislative level where we don't have a lot of input to the process. It's not a decision being made by the university leadership, but that's just something to watch, and we'll know in the next 2 weeks or so, I suppose.
The only other thing I had was the Staff Development Day, and registration for that was supposed to start Friday.
It did.
And so you can register for sessions there now. Carla Browning said she's going to be here for public comment to give a little update on that and give you a schedule of the sessions, and she's not here. So I don't know if she's running late or if she's going to be here. If so, I'll give her a little time to talk about that. I know their sessions have really scaled down. That was really for two reasons. One was because there were so many, some sessions didn't have a lot of participants, and others filled up really quickly. They tried to balance that a little bit. On the other hand, it was also kind of per direction from the chancellor as well that an all-day Ultimate Frisbee tournament wasn't really what he had in mind with Staff Development Day. We also have a lot more work and less staff members to do that work with, and so he wanted to target that more for staff development that can be fun, but than just having sessions that were just for fun. That's some of the reasoning behind scaling down the sessions from, I think it was 60 last year to about 20 this year. They've kept all the kind of the social events, the ice cream social, the breakfast, and the lunch sessions as well. So I'm hoping Carla will be here to talk a little bit more about that.
Did you guys all get the email to register for it?
Yes.
And saw the events? Okay.
Okay, that's pretty much all I had.
Okay, so I would like to take a minute and just read out the resolutions of appreciation that we passed as part of the consent agenda. So first we have our resolution of recognition and appreciation of Chris Becks. Thank you so much, Chris, for your service this year. So whereas Chris Beck served as the 2014 to 2015 UAF Staff Council President and as a Staff Council Representative for Unit 15 OIT since 2013, and whereas Chris honorably represented UAF staff through his service on UA Staff Alliance, the UAF Planning and Budget Committee, the UA Furlough Task Group, the UAF Technology Advisory Board, the UAF Staff Council Rural Affairs Committee, and as Chair of the Staff Council Membership and Rules Committee. And whereas Chris's commitment to advocating on behalf of all UAF staff members is clear in his demeanor and in all his pursuits, and whereas Chris has worked to solicit feedback from Staff Council representatives and UAF staff on a variety of important topics, including the UAF budget, term-funded applicants, tobacco-free campus, furlough policy, and changes to layoff regulations. And whereas Chris has worked to present feedback from UAF staff to the UAF and UA administrations. And whereas Chris has encouraged and empowered Staff Council committee chairs to take action for the benefit of staff. And whereas Chris strove to uphold the role of system governance within the university system, and whereas Chris's exceptional leadership skills, forward thinking, and willingness to address difficult situations from an inclusive perspective strengthened UAF staff governance, now, therefore, be it resolved that UAF Staff Council extends its appreciation and gratitude to Chris Bex for his commitment to making UAF a better place through his service on UAF Staff Council. And we have a framed resolution for you. So thank you, Chris. Aww,
thank you, guys. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm honored. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure working for you guys and with you guys. And I have to say that this isn't possible without Faye and Nicole. Okay, this is not just me. Without these two people, there's no way I could have done all of that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Not for your signature. So we add one other that we, yes, but this is framed for display purposes today. It's not signed yet, except with Nicole's scribble on the bottom that says not phase signature, where the signature would be. Pretty cute. So our other resolution of recognition and appreciation today was for Richard Machida, who's not with us today, but Richard will be retiring after long and very excellent service to the university. So whereas Richard Machida has been a UAF employee since 1982 and a UAF Staff Council representative since 2010, and whereas Richard chaired the UAF Staff Council Elections Committee from 2013 to 2015 and the former Staff Council Elections Membership and Rules Committee for 2013, and whereas Richard has served as a Staff Council representative to numerous committees, including the UAF Master Planning Committee, the UAF Sustainable Master Planning Committee, the UAF Research Program Review Task Force, and the UAF Staff Make Student Count Award Ad Hoc Committee, and whereas Richard's calm demeanor and logical and analytical approach and comments have been valuable in group discussions, and whereas Richard has improved the functionality of the UAF Staff Council election software, making it more user-friendly for both end users and those involved in the election process. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the University of Alaska Fairbanks Staff Council extends its gratitude and appreciation to Richard Machida for his dedication and tireless commitment to staff governance. And thank you to Richard.
Richard is, I think at this point, the longest serving member of staff council. So he's been here longer than any of us. I think everybody.
Yeah, and more than 30 years of service to the university.
Right.
So. All right. So if we move on to staff achievements and highlights.
Staff achievements and highlights. I don't know if any of you saw some of the stuff was in the cornerstone. The Alaska Satellite Facility contribution to the Nepal's earthquake. They had it was a large earthquake, but ASF provided a whole bunch of data and maps that were really useful by a number of agencies and people to help in the response to that earthquake. And they were recognized for that nationally, but lots of organizations have used their data. And so we wanted to highlight their contribution there.
And they worked through the weekend, secured permits in record time to share that information, and managed to turn around essentially 2 weeks' worth of work in 2 days to get that response out in a timely manner so people could start getting supplies and responses out to the victims in the more rural areas, which if you've been hearing on the radio, that's been the biggest challenge of response is outside of Kathmandu. So really, really excellent work from our staff at the Alaska Satellite Facility.
And then the others are, do you have a list of staff council reps? Okay. Anybody that that is receiving a longevity award this year at, yeah, would you please raise your hand?
Sue, how many years for you?
10 years. I actually have somewhere around 15, but not 10 years.
Awesome. Thank you.
How many for you?
Five years for me this year. So. Great.
All right. Let's move on to unfinished business. And we have staff council officer election. Phil, you filling in for Richard on this one, or?
I guess so.
Okay.
That's what I would need to do. So he also said for vote counting that you were going to fill in for Richard in that role.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
How many, Nicole, how many nominations do we have at the moment? Okay. Are there any nominations from the floor or on the phone? I'm hearing none. Okay.
Chris, would it be all right to know who's been nominated so far? To know whom we might want to nominate on the floor?
Yeah, sure. Hang on, we're pulling up the list. Just a sec. So, for president, for staff council officer, or for president, we have two nominees at the moment, which is Faye Gallant and Nate Bauer. And for vice president, we have Faye Gallant, Jeff Baxter, Trish Winters, and Nate Bauer. So are there any additional nominations at this time? People on the phone can hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, then we will close nominations at this point. I'll close the nominations at this point. four staff council officer elections. And we'll proceed with staff council president and start with candidate statement. Faye and Nate, who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
I'll go. Yeah, sure. So I am happy to accept the nomination, and I would be eager to serve staff council in the role of president. I think I've learned over the past year that this is a very worthy body of all of our service, and I think it needs a strong leader. I think I've learned a lot from watching Chris and watching Brad before serve in that role. I think they've both been very effective. I've also watched Faye do an excellent job as VP over last year, so I think that we'd be lucky to have either one of us serve. I think that we're obviously facing really unique challenges as a university and as a staff. So I think it's important that we have an effective leader who is experienced and who's watched and been witness to successful models for leadership. So I just think that that's something important to keep in mind.
Cool. Thanks, Nate.
Okay. So I'd also like to say that I think we have a great slate of candidates. I'd be happy to serve with any of them in either role. I think I'm really pleased by the other candidates who are on the table. It's been a real privilege to serve as vice president for the last year. I'm definitely willing and would be honored to take on the role of president and carry that forward. I do want to, you know, always make it clear I sit in a sort of different place in my day-to-day job in the Office of Management and Budget. That hasn't been a problem this year, I don't think. I don't anticipate it being any type of issue in the next. If it were, I would recuse myself from anything and, you know, I'll have the vice president comment if there were any type of conflict, but I want to make sure that's fully disclosed because I think you guys need to choose a president with full understanding. I think, yeah, we have a lot of challenges ahead. I think we have a lot of great candidates who could lead through any of them. So that was a not very rousing campaign speech, but yeah, it's been a real honor serving. So my feelings will not be hurt if I'm not elected. I'll say right now that it's been wonderful serving as your vice president this last year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Hey, then we get to voting. Okay, and Nicole got her email back. She lost the internet, but so for those folks on the phone, you can vote by sending your choice for president and vice president in an email to Nicole. And for those in the room, I believe we have colored cards and pencils.
Are we voting on both?
On the agenda.
President. So for those in the room, just the president vote at this point.
Can I get a pencil?
So for those of you on the phone, please email Nicole with your choice for UAF staff council president.
And could you verbally let me know who has sent a vote by email so that I know how many I'm supposed to be looking for? Because we have network problems in the building or the campus or something like that.
So that is just say your name on the phone if you've sent Nicole your vote.
Nicole, this is Leslie.
Melody.
Yeah.
I
think I heard four names so far.
Count the result of Mrs. Swin. He could do the vice president election, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So is that let you go and do that? Or?
You can do it right here. Yeah,
yeah, and Nicole will have some names coming in, too.
Yeah.
Nicole will have the online vote.
Well. Yep.
Okay, so while they count the votes, we could take a quick break in the room. Let's not wander off too far because then we'll want to move right along into Vice President. So we can get up and stretch our legs and top off drinks.
All right, people back here. Well, then, Phil, you want to announce the results of the election?
Sure. So, with much thanks from Brandy for helping me count the ballots, I'd like to announce that Faye Gallant received the most votes to be the president of the U.S. Staff Council for the FY16 the year.
All right.
Thank Woo-hoo. You, everyone. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Let's move on to voting for. Staff Council Vice President. Everybody should have a ballot in front of them, right? Yeah. Oh, yes. We'll start with candidate statements. So we have four nominees for Vice President. Faye Gallant, Nate Bauer, Jeff Baxter, and Trish Winters. And Trish is not here. Trish, are you on the phone by any chance? So I'll start with Jeff.
Yeah, so I'll start by saying don't vote for Faye. She's already president. She doesn't need another office.
She could do it. I think she could do it.
Okay. I'm not interested
she
in
could do it.
Thank you.
Don't do that to her. And, you know, I was called by Richard to say that I was nominated for president, but I turned that down so that I could throw my support behind Faye, and I'm glad that she's been elected, and I'm a willing servant for vice president, but feel completely confident in the capabilities of Nate and Trish to do. And just by way of demonstration of how effective I've been on the council, just as the chair of the staff affairs committee, and bringing forth some of those issues that we're still reporting on and some that have passed as well. I'm like Faye. My feelings won't be hurt if Nate or Trish, I'd be glad for either one of them or for me to serve.
Okay. Nate, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, sure. I would just kind of echo what Jeff and Faye both said. Collegial group, I think, of candidates, and I think that I think that we'll be well served by any of us. I have been chair of the advocacy committee for the last couple semesters, and I think we've done some good and important work. I think we'll talk a little bit more about it later in the agenda, but I think that an exciting thing to me. What's been exciting about being chair of advocacy, and what I think is going to continue to be exciting, is that we have the chance at staff council to obviously react against a lot of the problems and challenges that are thrown our way by circumstance. But I think every once in a while we also have the chance to be proactive about changing the culture at UAF in a positive way. And I think that that's one thing that advocacy has done and we'll continue to do. And so I would hope in any additional roles here that I could bring some of that to our priorities, you know, a little bit more of a focus on those kind of issues. So, that's what I would say. And I would be excited to work with Faye also.
Cool, excellent. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Jeff. And Trish is not here, but yeah, all candidates at this point that were nominated today for office are all part. part of the executive board of staff council and have been for the past year. So they're pretty familiar with how staff council operates. So we'll go over to the vote.
The internet's down again.
For people who can't get it via internet, should we say calling or texting would be okay? Calling if multiple people are sitting there hearing to verify.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's let them know if they can't get their vote in by email if they're trying to vote right now.
Okay, so those of you on the phone or not in the room, if you're having trouble accessing your email or internet and would like to vote at this time, I do. This is Faye, so since I'm not running in this one, if you have texting capabilities, texting would be the first choice other than email, just so it can be easily verified by other people seeing it besides me. My number is 460-5078, 460-5078. If you don't have texting or if you have to pay to text, then just go ahead and give me a call, and I will listen to you talk with Nicole there to also double-check, because she uses two eyes on every – or four eyes, I guess, on every email that comes in to double check too. So we just want to make sure that your vote has all the integrity possible. So if you're able to email, do that first. No, actually don't even try to email. Nicole can't get her email. So call or text. If you can't get it in either of those ways, let us know just over the phone right now, and we will try and find another workaround. Sorry about that. Just having network problems, which is an unfortunate time to do so. But. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting a couple texts. So keep on trying to get your votes in, and let us know if you're having any trouble there on the phone.
Chad, I did receive your vote by email, so we're okay on that.
Okay. And I've received one person's text.
And that was for the last two digits, 97?
The last two digits were 67.
Oh, that's me.
Okay. Great, thanks.
Melody, I did receive your vote by email.
Oh, I guess I get to vote too.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then one here.
Jamie, I got your vote by email.
Great, thank you.
Was that everyone we were expecting remotely?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
You have 6 people online.
Okay, thank you guys online. I think we have received all of your votes at this point.
Okay, do we have a result?
We do have a result. The 15-16 vice president for staff council will be Nate Bauer.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you guys very much. And thanks for your patience, guys. This takes a little time, and the technical difficulties didn't make this any easier. Let's move on to item B then. Actually, no, item number three. We've got a motion to rectify the officer election.
Ratify. Rectify would be good too.
Ooh.
If anyone has a problem with how it turns out. if Nicole needs to fill that in, we could take our break now and then come back.
Yeah.
For the motion to ratify, do we want to do that right now or take a quick break first? Do you have to put anything in? Are we good? Okay.
Good.
All right.
Okay. All right. We have a motion to ratify the 2015 Staff Council Officer Elections. That motion is part of your packet. The motion says that UAF Staff Council moves to ratify the following election results for the offices of UAF Staff Council President and Vice President for 2015 and 2016 year. So President will be Faye Gallant. And Vice President will be Nate Bauer. And that's effective June 1st. Motion is that's brought by the election committee, usually. So I just need a second for this.
Second.
All right. And then all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
My last chance.
Huh? Yeah, it's official now.
I'm just kidding. I am excited.
All right. We'll move forward to some of the other unfinished business items. University Advocacy Committee's Staff Mentoring Interest Survey. Nate, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. It's been around. Hopefully you've all had a chance to respond to the mentoring survey. We've had a lot of results. We've got close to 200 responses at this point, so I consider that a success. We are going to keep it open for the rest of the week. So if you haven't had a chance to reply, I hope you will. And we'll send out another reminder just to make sure that everybody has the correct link and just maybe one final push to get a few more responses. And then I've looked through the responses a little bit. I think that, I think that there is a high level of interest in mentoring in general. I think that people have obviously different ideas and assumptions about what that would mean, formally or informally. So I think, I'm eager. I'm looking forward to kind of processing those responses more fully providing a report on what they suggest going forward. The initial reason why we put that survey together was because we're interested, as a committee, our advocacy committee, we're interested in designing a program to facilitate, to ease mentoring and to promote it at you know, across the university throughout our different departments, because I think it happens, I think mentoring happens in a lot of different ways, but we want to make sure that it's happening everywhere. And I think it would be easier if it, if it was endorsed by a body like staff council, for it to happen in places where it might not as much as we'd like it to. That's all.
Thanks.
Thank you. Portal policy and regulation. We talked a little bit about this already earlier on. We kind of sent a was it a memo?
It was, yeah, it was a memo or a strongly worded letter.
To the system administration HR office regarding our feeling regarding the changes to the furlough regulations that were made before without really consent or information informing the task force, the furlough task force. The biggest one being that the limits on furlough, that section was removed entirely.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of waiting for a response from HR on that.
Yeah, so I did get a brief update from Nicole. So apparently HR, statewide HR's position on this is that that change was made by general counsel before going final, and it was not an HR decision, so HR is wiping their hands of it. I'll follow up on that to see, because that's coming through a couple different voices before it got to Nicole even, let alone to us. So I'll want to follow up on that. If that is the official position, it doesn't hold much water for me. General counsel should have looked at it before it came to governance for review so that we were looking at as close to final a version as possible when we were commenting. Again, otherwise, if there had not been a limit to furlough when it came to us for review, we would have pushed very hard for a limit to furlough. People need to know what the worst-case scenario is. So we'll follow up on that through Staff Alliance and basically see whose door we need to beat on to get a response and to get some type of at least assurance that that's not how shared governance would work in the future, and that our review will happen at a meaningful point without changes made after the fact. So we'll just be following up on that. Related to furlough, though, I believe you all saw the senior administration, the president, the officers of the universities, the president, vice president, chancellors, vice chancellors, deans and directors, and faculty who are non-union, which generally means like associate deans and directors as faculty appointments, will all be furloughed this year with the greatest number of days starting at the top. So president, vice presidents, chancellors, I believe, 10 days, then 7 days for the next layer and 5 days for at the associate dean type layer. So they are starting at the top with it, which I believe is a an appropriate way to begin. Hopefully we won't have to see too many others. Our chancellor has continued to push that if we do not see compensation increases, then we should not see furloughs. That it's at least in this year an either or, that we shouldn't see them in combination. So I think at Staff Alliance we might raise that as a official motion.
Yeah, and so our chancellor is continuing to do that. I think that question was brought at the last meeting, asked of Chancellor Rogers, and I'm glad he is pushing for that. It is important to note, though, that decision will be made by the president, by President Gamble, obviously with support or with input from the chancellors of all three universities. But it isn't Chancellor Rogers' decision.
Right. He did note as well that he was referring to kind of across-the-board furloughs of all employees, that department by department, if they can't meet their budget without layoffs, they might, at a department level, do furloughs if needed. Also worth noting on that is our chancellor is retiring at the end of August. So, we'd like to kind of harness his support for this while we still have him here, not knowing what the fall semester will bring.
Yeah, exactly. And you might have seen an email that has a staff council resolution in appreciation of our chancellor. That isn't in this packet. We decided to kind of hold off on that for this meeting and do that in the August meeting, which is a bit closer to his actual retirement date. Moving on, the committee representatives. As a member of staff council, one of the requirements, there's very few, but one of them is that you serve on at least one committee. And we currently have one committee that does not have representation from staff council, which is the ASUAF Food for Thought Committee. And so if you are interested in representing staff council on that committee, please let Nicole know. I believe this committee is the one that kind of makes recommendations regarding food choices at on campus, especially in Wood Center. So if anybody is interested in representing staff council on that, please let Nicole know so we can pass your name on to the committee chair. F, Volunteer Day Proposal and Resolution. We had this on our staff council agenda last week, or last month, and decided to kind of hold off on that based on Chancellor Rogers' recommendation. We did talk with him about that at pre-staff, and he believes that right now is a good time to revisit this, and maybe vote on a resolution for this. So that's included. Nate, do you want to talk a little more about this, maybe introduce it?
Sure. Yeah, honestly, I don't think that I can endorse it or promote it any more heartily than Chancellor Rogers has in the past. And on behalf of the committee, I guess I offer some hearty appreciation to him for that. I also don't think it's out of turn to say that, you know, at least the concept of this volunteer day has been supported by our staff council leadership also. So I think it's important. I think it's, I think the only anxiety that anybody had about it in the past has been, you know, wondering whether administration would support something like this in the face of a budget crisis. And it seems like they would. So I'm happy to reintroduce it. I think we've worked pretty hard. I'm proud of the work that our committee has done to put this together over time. I think, like I said before, staff council does a great job of providing defense for UAF staff in the face of a lot of pretty distinct challenges, and I think that, you know, you could make a pretty strong argument that those functions alone justify our existence as a body. As a side effect of collecting such smart and capable and passionate people, sometimes we have the chance to, rather than just playing defense, to actually sort of proactively change UAF culture in a positive way, and I think that this is an example of that. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't looked at it before, I'd encourage you to read it. The proposal is attached as well as the resolution to the agenda.
Cool. Any questions on the proposal? We've discussed this a bit before in a couple of meetings already. But any questions at this point regarding that? Go ahead.
I was wondering how it would be organized. Who would track this, and
and, you know, HR is going to have to be involved with some kind of leave tracking and so on. How does that work?
Great question. That received a lot of discussion in our committee and at during executive board conversations about it, and we went pretty far down the road of trying to imagine some kind of organization before we realized that we'd have a much better chance of support from the university if we left that pretty open-ended. I think that we all recognize that it's going to take some serious effort on the part of HR and on the part of the administration to design that system, but I think that we're kind of looking for input from them about how they would want to do that before we make any kind of determination.
Yeah. I'll note that one of the changes that was made was to, in the fourth paragraph, that the employee would use 4 hours of annual leave and that the other 4 hours, as proposed, would just be treated as work for the university and wouldn't require an additional leave code for volunteer leave or anything like that. The notion of volunteer leave, I think, was where we were running into a lot of trouble before, both in terms of how to administer it and also just the sort of dissonance of leave to volunteer. So as part of the shared kind of the shared responsibility and shared commitment idea is that the university would volunteer 4 hours of our work time,
yeah,
just considered normal work time, and that the employee would use 4 hours of annual leave. So potentially there wouldn't need to be, potentially there wouldn't really need to be any tracking of it any other than our normal, I'm going to use 4 hours of leave. My supervisor is aware of that and certifies it on my timesheet. So, but I think part of this too is, this is saying we support this idea, not that we have worked out every single detail, but that we're asking the administration to work with us to put this into place. And so it would need to be a partnership going forward to actually implement.
How about the ones that are paid on restricted funds? Most of the people in my unit are restricted funds.
Right.
So we couldn't volunteer. We have to do 8 hours of leave because we can't charge a restricted fund for time not actually worked.
Yeah, I think that would be something probably to work out as much as possible in an implementation phase. I don't know that that's an answer we could hammer out in advance because it is a pretty complex piece. If they have any Fund 1 support at all, it would be optional to use that. There's also potentially administrative leave category, which is going into policy and regulation, which was a workaround for allowing restricted fund employees to charge to administrative leave for things like weather emergencies and so forth. That might offer some opportunity to access if the department had the ability to support that. To pay them on administrative leave for those 4 hours out of department funds. But if the university doesn't pay for those people's time in the first place, then I think it would come down to either be involved for half the day with 4 hours of leave or take on a bigger proportion. And I think that's just a problem, a universal problem when we're on restricted funds. So I don't know that we have an easy answer. But.
This is more about the idea of volunteering, kind of as a bit of an organized effort on the part of staff, UAF staff, where we're hoping that university does part of this and the staff does part of that. How that worked out in details isn't in this proposal, and I think that's details that we can work out later. But good questions, though.
Yeah, totally.
This is Chad. On the resolution on the following page, it has a statement of the staff council observes the Fairbanks community's increased need for time and effort from the university's wide variety of skilled and highly capable staff and potential volunteers. There's an exclusion of the rural areas that are being served. kind of by that statement. Is there a way to have that included into the resolution?
I think we could, I mean, it's up to you, Nate, but we could strike Fairbanks and just have the community.
Yeah, sure.
Recognizing that we do have communities all around the state. That's a great point, Chad.
Yeah, that's just an oversight. I apologize that that comes off that way, but I understand for sure.
So could we, well, I guess we have to second the motion and discuss, and then we can edit it. But.
Yeah. So motion's on the floor at this point, or it's been offered by the committee. I just need a second for that.
Could you repeat the motion one more time? I'm sorry.
Sure. It's the last page of your packet. Staff Council Resolution 2015-261-4, which is a resolution in support of UAF Staff Council's Staff Volunteer Day proposal. In the second whereas.
And the third whereas.
Oh, okay. I've got to pause for just a minute because our recording just stopped. So,
it'll be the second and the third, the larger Fairbanks community down here. So it's in two places.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sorry for that interruption there. In that resolution, the second whereas, staff council observes the Fairbanks community increased need for time and effort. If we say,
I guess as Chair Chris, I would propose that instead of saying observes the Fairbanks communities, I would say observes our communities plural apostrophe increased need.
And in the third whereas?
In the third whereas, we might get away with just taking Fairbanks out.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe changing it to our instead of the.
Yeah.
So it would say gaps between UAF and our larger community.
I like that.
Yeah. So you're offering an amendment then?
I suppose that's true.
Okay. An amendment to change the second whereas to read staff council observes our communities.
Yeah.
Increased need for time and effort. And in addition to that, also on the third whereas, where we also recognize the opportunity to bridge cultural and practical gaps between UAF and our larger communities. Our larger
sure.
community?
Right. Yeah, maybe singular in that one.
Singular,
yeah.
Okay, yep.
Ever, right. This is Chris Griffin. You know, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
This also apply to SC23 where that verbiage is also in there?
In the draft itself?
In
the proposal itself,
it.
You mean?
Yeah, a proposal for UAF Staff Volunteer Day.
Okay, yeah.
Similar changes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the final paragraph, it references Fairbanks again.
In the proposal, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the same edits in the second paragraph of the proposal, changing to we further observe our community's increased need and the opportunity to bridge gaps between UAF and our larger community.
Yeah.
And then in the final paragraph of the proposal, when these efforts are most needed by our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Any other changes on the resolution?
Okay, so I heard an amendment from Nate. Do I hear a second for that?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion on that, on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment to this resolution, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, amendment passed. Further discussion on the resolution, or are we ready to vote on this? Any questions, further questions, further edits?
Not a question for edit, but previously we talked about a volunteer day. It was at sort of a staff alliance level, and it went to UA administration. Reading this proposal, it sounds like we're really talking about just UAF specific. We're not going to send this on to staff alliance. Is that correct?
We could share it with Staff Alliance as a point of information that we're doing this at UAF and we think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe we're asking for anything at a system level.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think that actually might be a good idea at this point. Maybe in the future it would be better. President Gamble looked at the volunteer day proposal that was last given and went, well, that's not really volunteering if you're asking us to pay for it. So I think it's better to leave it at UAF level to begin with. I just wanted to make sure it was clear on that.
Yeah, and we have the support from our chancellor as well on this one, so that's kind of, we're hoping to push this before he retires as well. Okay, anything else? Anyone on the phone? I don't want to exclude anyone here. Okay, then all in favor of this resolution 2015-261-4, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed?
Nay.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. Let's take a quick break, about 5 minutes or so. Get some coffee, go to the bathroom, and we'll be back. All right. Let's move on to the new business section, number 8. Item A is June Staff Council Meeting. That'd be Staff Council Meeting 262. We often cancel our June meeting because people are off contract and summer's starting and there isn't a lot to talk about usually. But with the legislature on recess and coming back and not really having any major decisions made on budget, I kind of wanted to throw out to council here to see that if maybe we do a shorter staff council meeting in June, mainly because there may be some changes happening with the budget. We may have some idea on potential pay increases or not, furlough days or not. I mean, there may be some real stuff to talk about. And so I don't necessarily want to cancel the meeting if you think it might be beneficial to meet maybe for a shorter period of time other than the usual 2.5 hours or so.
Basically having an abbreviated agenda where the agenda for the June meeting would essentially just be budget updates and discussion regarding the coming year.
Yeah. What do you guys think? I mean, any questions, comments?
What day would it fall on?
Yeah. June 1st, I believe, is that Monday.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. June 1st.
I'm pretty sure it's the 1st.
Yeah.
It would be June 1st.
Well, one question I have is, what's the executive board's capabilities to schedule an emergency meeting? I mean, do you have to be prepared and not knowing if there's going to be anything to discuss, or could you just, at the right time, call a meeting?
We could just call a meeting. The concern would be that how many people could attend on a short notice would be my biggest concern over the course of the summer. Just so many people are either off contract or have chunks of leave planned if they're able to.
We
don't have Nicole for a good chunk of the summer as well, which severely hampers our ability to do anything because we rely quite a lot on Nicole.
I know you're capable of doing it without me, but I am here half-time in June for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, when we have canceled the June meeting, staff counsel's authority has been typically, I don't want to say always, typically transferred to the executive board for those months.
Right.
That's just sort of another
component.
Right.
The main reason we often cancel the June meeting is that most of the committees stop meeting in the summer, and so there's not a lot to report on that. And we knew what happened with the budget, and we knew what was happening for the coming year. Plus, we didn't have the June meeting wasn't this early in the year or this early in the month. It was later in the month, and a lot of people were on vacation or off contract, and so they weren't going to be here to meet anyway. This is June 1st. I mean, it is within the month of June, but just barely. So it's a little earlier. I think there might be more people here, and I think there may be stuff to discuss. That's all. Anyone else? I mean, not.
So, I mean, if we were to do the abbreviated June meeting, we wouldn't necessarily need any action right now on behalf of that, other than knowing that that's what was desired. If we wanted to cancel it, that would require a motion and a
resolution. A motion and a vote.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be good thing to keep it on schedule.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I see a lot of heads nodding in the room. Anyone on the phone really opposed to this? Okay. Thank you. Then we'll keep the meeting as scheduled at this point. Since Chancellor Rogers just arrived here, I'd like to move forward and jump a little ahead to Chancellor's remarks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Is this on? Okay, now it is. Returned from Bethel and Dillingham, where I attended commencements on Friday and Saturday. And for those who haven't attended a rural commencement, you really get a sense of the value of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and of delivering higher education in rural campuses. It's a really, it's a great time, certainly it's an exciting time, a commencement here in Fairbanks or at other locations, but to be able to see the impact that we have, to see the number of students getting degrees, certificates, we had an honorary doctorate in Dillingham as well, several master's degrees, baccalaureate, associate certificate, and getting a sense in Dillingham, we had 12 people receiving certificates in sustainable energy, but only one of them was from Dillingham. We had people from Interior, from South Central as well. So each of those campuses, like Fairbanks and our sister institutions, are delivering throughout the state. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it to Nome and Kotzebue this year. Those commencements come up this week. And, of course, Fairbanks commencement next Sunday, major event, and a lot will be going on there. I had thought that by this meeting I'd be able to talk more specifically about budget, but the legislature hasn't completed its work yet, and we have, big issues up in the air still. The biggest one that affects all of us in this room is what the legislature is going to do about compensation. The House and Senate budgets, as passed at the end of session, did not provide compensation increases. The governor in the special session has introduced a bill that provides funding for those pay raises that were negotiated, agreements with bargaining units, but that's it. So where that's going to end up, I can't predict at this point. The legislature will come back in on the 12th, or possibly sooner, and we'll find out. In the meantime, it is our plan to go forward with continuation level budgets for the for all units late this week or early next week, to based on what we think is going to happen. That, again, compensation big swing, millions of dollars difference in the versions that we have. Last week at the Chancellor's Forum, there was a question about the Chancellor search process, what it will be. The President has not made a decision on that. What I've recommended is the circulation of two or three names for a possible interim chancellor who would serve through from the 1st of September through the next academic year, and a regular search process that would kick off once faculty and staff are back at the end of the summer, with the new president making a choice of permanent chancellor. Again, I haven't heard what that final process will be. We announced week before last the program review impacts for the special academic program review. We will be again as part of this year's this week or early next week continuation budget, going over what recommendations we're going to take out of the other special program review processes. And of course, next week is Staff Development Appreciation Day. Really nice opportunity for the first time in my memory anyway, the College of Rural and Community Development will be having its gathering coincident with that. So we'll have all of the rural faculty and staff here in Fairbanks Wednesday and Thursday. They'll participate for part of the sessions, including the morning awards here in the Wood Center. So nice opportunity for people to meet rural colleagues, one that we generally they've had their faculty and staff meetings in August, but moving it up to this fiscal year created a little bit of room in next year's budget. And I would encourage everyone to take advantage of staff development and appreciation. And if anyone has supervisors who are balking at giving people the time, let Kari Burrell in my office know, and we'll encourage the supervisor to change her or his approach. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions members of staff council might have.
Can we start on the phone? Do we have any questions on the phone for the chancellor?
I had a quick question. This is Chris Brooks over in Gino. With the CRCD and this event that you're holding on the Fairbanks campus, has the question ever arose about other facilities in the state that ability to go to these events? Specifically, like our facility here in Juneau, the fisheries, Etowah's Fisheries, and then we have other places in Yak, Seward, et cetera, that aren't involved in these events.
We've got a poor connection, but I think the question was about gatherings of employees in other locations other than the CRCD community campuses. And I think, you know, SFOS, which is probably the group with the most employees that are affected, followed by Cooperative Extension Service, often has statewide gatherings. And I think perhaps I'll pass on to both deans, both of the deans, the thought that they might consider trying to do their gathering at the same time. We'll get a sense next week, I think, to see how well that works. But I was really pleased to see that Yvonne scheduled it at the same time. It would be a good idea to try to pull the other campus staff, other location staff together. Thanks.
Anyone else on the phone? Okay, if you think of one, I think we'll have a couple questions in the room, so you have a little more thinking time.
Okay, any questions for the chancellor or comments in the room?
I have a few questions about furlough and sort of the perspectives for furlough. After reading the facts that were included in the announcement for the furloughs for UA officers and university leadership, I noted that the fact for exempt employees says that it'll be a reduction for the fiscal year. And then I thought a moment, well, we're the regulation, I believe, says that there'll be a 60-day notice period before furlough starts. So what would happen if, you know, if the university wanted to do a furlough, you know, say in 30 days we go, okay, now we know what the budget is, we want to plan for furlough, but now we're well within, you know, 60 days of the start of the fiscal year. Has that been anything that's been discussed? Like, what would they do if they wanted to do furloughs sort of halfway through the year, given that the way they're doing exempt employees is to take a pay cut for the entire year, the entire fiscal year?
So we have not had any discussion of what that impact would be, but, you know, clearly would follow the regulation, the policy with 60 days notice. My, you know, off the cuff without checking with others would be that, you know, if we made a decision on June 1, that the furlough time would be spread over 11 months, over 24 pay periods instead of 26 pay periods.
Okay. I have other furlough questions. With the announcement of the furloughs for leadership, with the sort of the lowest number of days being 5, would it be fair to say that if we're looking at furloughs in FY16, unless they increase the number of furlough days for deans and directors and positions above that, then the most furlough days people should be seeing are 5 days. No one should be seeing more furlough days than their boss's boss or their boss's boss.
Well, again, as I've stated before, if there is a there's no pay raise, I don't intend to do a university-wide furlough. There may be some units where the choice is to do furloughs rather than layoffs, and that the number of days would vary depending on the fiscal needs of that unit.
Okay. And so my last question then is about that. And so I've heard in, like, my department's planning process is the planning for the possibility of furloughs. And I had kind of been thinking that a furlough would be, you know, if a furlough happened, it would be system-wide. And it sounds like that's not the case. Can you talk a little bit more about, I mean, what would that look like for, you know, for a different unit to say, okay, we're having, say, 10 days of furlough, but another unit says, well, we don't need to do that. You know, it seems like it could cause friction between employees if you have some people who are facing more furlough days than others or none at all.
Yes, there may be friction. The alternative, again, at the unit level, if with the budget coming down, maybe one unit may determine that it's better to do layoffs, another one better to do furloughs within the unit. There will be friction if there are layoffs, too. There will be friction, there's going to be friction no matter what happens with reductions. So I think the idea that there will be differences, yes, there will be differences.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions or comments for the Chancellor?
So I have one thing that I think the staff council may want to engage in some consideration, and that is that this proposal from in the governor's budget that funds raises for union employees and not for non-union employees, the staff council may want to engage in some advocacy on that position. I won't suggest to you what you want to advocate, that's your decision, but that does create the same kind of disparity that Brad was just talking about, but between employee groups.
Something we can advocate for as a body, or would it be individual?
I don't know.
Do you happen to know? Sorry. Do you happen to know? Is that something we could advocate for as a body, or as it would have to be as individuals, as constituents with our representatives?
I don't see any harm in, you know, as the representatives of all of the staff in laying out a position, and certainly it is something that affects all staff. So it would seem reasonable to me. But again, you know, and there may be, depending on how this comes out, I frankly don't think that's going to pass. I don't think we're going to get to that point. I think the legislature, having already made its decision, is unlikely to change it. but I think the governor's doing one more try at trying to change it and may be trying to force a vote that could succeed. It could be part of the negotiations that are going on in Juneau and Anchorage right now. So, I think both as individuals and as a council as a whole, that's an issue that you speak for.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. That's certainly something we'll be taking up. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I know our agenda is a little jumbled. We're quite a bit behind schedule. I see Dabu Misra here. I'm going to jump to governance reports, and then we'll jump back to the new business items. Yeah, go ahead, Dabu. Thank you for coming here.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
So I just decided to be here in person because I have been a ghost on the phone all the time. and the reason is that I have a class right before this one, and today I kind of ended the class because, today is the last day, and I decided to be here in person so that I can thank all of you. That's the important thing. Throughout the year, we have been hearing about budget cuts and other stuff. It's a demoralizing effect on everybody, not only the staff. And I'm even the chancellor. I mean, it's a demoralizing effect on the chancellor also, in taking a decision. So we have to, what I would like to thank you all is for keeping a positive environment all through. I mean, the staff has been instrumental in my unit, I didn't find the staff really bickering about anything, that there is a furlough coming up or a budget cut coming up or anything. They were focused. They wanted to keep a positive environment, and I really appreciate what the staff did over the year. And we don't know how we could have helped, but we were, doing what we needed to do as far as curriculum was concerned, Senate is concerned. So we are all in this together. I mean, it's not that the faculty want the raise. Let me be honest about that. Most of the faculty feel that we should not take the raise. However, these are, unions can put their stand to the governor saying that, we had negotiated something. We need to get it because there was a negotiation and you are not keeping up the part of the deal. And that's the situation. So please go ahead if you want to have a position, that's good. I mean, it will help the university by saving $4.5 million at least in UAF. And I'm saying this, I'm part of the union, but I'm saying this because personally I feel that at this moment when we anticipate losing jobs, we don't see this as a positive step, okay? I'm being very honest from my own personal view point. The Staff Appreciation Day, I don't know how much more we can appreciate the staff. I mean, please keep a positive momentum going for the next year. It's very critical, very critical. There will be more choppings coming up, and we know that for a fact. But that's part of what we do and what we need to deal with. Okay. As far as the Senate is concerned, Faculty Senate, today is our last meeting of this year, academic year, and I will be stepping into the next academic year as the president of the Faculty Senate today, and Orion Lawler is taking over as the president-elect, and he will be the one joining you guys for the next year. Before I do that, I must thank immensely. I really enjoyed working with Chris and Faye, and, incredible leadership, and they should be thanked, and any thank, thanking is less for them. we can thank more. A lot of issues are going on, and we did not accomplish everything this year. Let me be honest about that. Most of the time it was due to differences, you know, amongst universities, differences amongst culture, philosophy of the faculty. So a whole lot of things are still on the table. I'm not going to bother you guys with all the details. I brought it in case somebody had a question. But there are several issues that are still coming to my plate next year. And I would like staff support on some of those, you know, because that's very critical. So with that, I look forward to working with the new leaders. I'm guessing some election is today, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Faye was elected president, and so she will be.
Oh, congratulations.
You get to continue.
So there is a continuity.
Yeah, and Nate Bauer will be our vice president.
Thank you.
He was elected earlier today. So,
with that, I will take questions if there are.
Yeah. Any questions on the phone for Dabu? Hearing none. Any in the room? Okay, well, thank you very much, Dabu. Thanks for testifying on behalf of Faculty Senate this year.
Thank
we appreciate it, and we look forward to working with you as president next year. Okay, anybody here from ASUAF on the phone? Okay, hearing none, then I'm going to move back to new business. Item B was to move our August meeting. It's a motion to move our August meeting from August 3rd through August 17th. And the reason for that is that August 3rd is really close to the start of most people getting back on contract. Again, we kind of have a concern that not a whole lot of people would be able to attend the meeting on August 3rd. Also, again, a lot of committees don't meet over the summer, so there wouldn't be a whole lot to discuss. So if we move that a few weeks into the year, we expect that we have a more meeting items and more of a reason to meet. Does anybody know if they're not going to be here in August?
On the 17th.
On the 17th.
Or mid-August, if you just have leave planned or if you're off contract.
Okay. All right. So, we would have a quorum then. So we've got a motion on the floor for this. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Questions, comments? Ready to vote on? Oh, go ahead.
When is the September meeting, and would we then be meeting like 2 weeks after?
It's the 14th of September. It's pushed back due to Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
That's why we moved it to the 17th.
Yeah, that adds nice window on both sides.
Good question, yeah. So there's actually 4 weeks in between those two meetings.
I'll add an extra plea. I'll be actually out of training and out of state on the 3rd, so... I'd like for my first meeting as your president to be here in person. June 1st would be. But
June 1st would be
our first full meeting would be nice to actually attend.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do we not have a July meeting then?
No, we never have a July meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'm not hearing any other questions or comments. We're ready to vote then. Okay, all of those in favor of motion 2015-261-2 to move the staff council meeting from August 3rd to August 17th, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right, thank you. All right. We good?
All right. Item C, the Outstanding Staff Council Achievement Award. And we had a few nominations among our members and for the member of staff council that was, for a number of reasons, the most outstanding member of the past year. And the recipient of this award this year has really done a lot this year in some actions that have come to this body that have moved forward even to statewide changes and proposals. And several of the other nominees did similar things, but we have one award winner, and that would be Jeff Back.
Jeff, there is a plaque coming.
Yes. There's a plaque that goes along with it. It was not done.
I usually have until May 15th, but
but that is still coming. And thank you very much for your outstanding services.
Thank you.
All right. You get it in June.
All right. Membership and rules reports. Anybody here that's from membership and rules? Any member? You want to talk about this?
One? Yeah, just a little bit about the reports.
Sure. I think this
A number of us on the membership and rules committee are new representatives, and we were kind of brainstorming the best way to communicate within our units, and we came up with a one-page template that sort of summarizes. Just highlights ways to get involved for the staff. Obviously, they can read the more comprehensive reports that Nicole comes up with. But I volunteered to take the lead on this, and I was going to offer to send it out to all the unit reps. And then if you'd like to use it, it's voluntary. You don't have to. Then you can pass it along. And if anyone would like to assist me in anywhere, help out, give me a couple bullet points, especially within the subcommittees, if you guys have news to share, I can add it to the report. And it just seems like we're duplicating a lot of efforts by trying to summarize everything that happens. So Trish is always saying that many hands make light work. So I was thinking this might be a good solution.
Thank you. I think it's a great initiative. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.
I know as a representative, I would have used that.
For those of you who haven't seen them yet, when you guys post to your unit listservs, we see that as well before it goes out, and these reports they're really handy. It has like a high-level summary of actions taken during the meeting, and if there's anything where we're soliciting feedback or want staff to get involved or open for comment, that's like a very clear, bold red, here's your next step, and a couple bullets of the chancellor's commentary. It's a really, really nice layout. So so how are you guys planning on sharing that in a Google Doc shared with representatives, or...?
I was just planning on emailing out what I did to all the unit reps, but I'd be open to doing an open Google Doc too. That's fine.
Okay.
Whatever's easiest for folks.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think email might be good in this instance.
Yeah.
Keep
it clean.
Yeah, keep it clean so that people don't work off of one document. In this case, we want it to be unit specific. So.
Yeah, and I'm open to suggestions if anybody has any other ideas.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. I think it's a great idea. Item E, motion to amend the bylaws for Section 3 membership. You want to talk a little bit more about this as well? Most of this is pretty self-explanatory, I think.
I wrote the, was working on the section for membership and rules, so I can talk about it or take questions. But like you said, it's pretty self-explanatory. Nothing in these changes, in these edits, changes anything about how we act. They're all either edits for clarity or, in some cases, edits for correctness or removing redundant language.
Yeah. Seems just a little bit of housekeeping.
Exactly so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So motion's on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Any on the phone? Seeing and hearing none. All in favor of motion 2015.
We need a roll call
Oh, we need a roll call. Okay. So we'll vote by roll call. Go ahead, Nicole.
I don't make the rules. John Olson.
Aye.
Evelyn Pinsgaard. Leon Wu. Melody Hughes.
Yes.
Allie Englert.
Aye.
Leslie Walls.
Aye.
Jamie Warwick.
Aye.
Aye.
Sue Mitchell.
Aye.
Jesse Atencio.
Aye.
Chris Brooks.
Aye.
Mercedes Anderson.
Aye.
Matthew Mund. Jane Grossclose. Kim Eames. Susie Carson.
Aye.
Stacey Houdeshell.
Aye.
Samara Tabor.
Aye.
Randy Marrero.
Aye.
Jeff Baxter.
Aye.
Gino Jella. Jessica McCallum.
Aye.
Fred Crick.
Aye.
Kate Bauer.
Aye.
Janelle Merrifield.
Aye.
Phil Jacobs.
Aye.
Selena Brown. Trish Winters. Constance Heisinger.
Aye.
Jim Jones. Anybody whose name I did not call? I've got 24.
Yeah, motion carries. Thank you. Then item F, resolution requesting staff council involvement in the selection of the new UAF chancellor and the UAF interim chancellor, or interim UAF chancellor, which is also attached in your packet, third resolution for today. Since the chancellor is somebody we work really close with as staff council, and we've actually been involved in previous search process for a different chancellor, we would like to request from the UA president, from President Gamble, that we are involved in the search process for a new chancellor for the replacement of Chancellor Rogers. And that's what this resolution does. Any questions or comments on this?
If passed, who would be the person to participate?
I believe we'd appoint either Chris as current president or myself as president would either serve or appoint.
Other questions, comments? Okay. We've got a resolution on the floor. I need a second for that. Oh, go ahead.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor?
Oh, one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to move to amend the third, whereas UAF staff council understands, I think it would be.
Yep.
Is correct.
Yep. Thank you.
I don't see. I didn't see any other typos. But.
Okay. Thank you, Brad. Okay. No further discussion?
In that same paragraph?
Yes.
It says, whereas UAF staff council understands the import. Let me put that import.
Import.
Yeah, import is grammatically correct
is.
In this
okay.
sentence, but if people would prefer importance, that's an option.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Do we want to change that or leave it?
We'll leave it as is, make it easier. Mm-hmm. Thank you, though. Okay, are we ready to vote on this? Yeah, okay. All in favor of Resolution 2015-261-3, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, motion or resolution carries. Thank you.
Okay, so we don't have this on the agenda, and we're already going to be running slightly over, but I would like to propose that we do a resolution over email within the next week or two, the next week, to in regards to the compensation for non-represented employees to forward to our representatives in the legislature. As the chancellor suggested or asked us to consider, is that something that the council would be interested in doing?
Yes.
I think it's a good thing to work on. I think it may be worth reaching out, trying to find some members of governance either at the UAF level or at UA, at the Staff Alliance level, because there was a time, and I wasn't in governance when this is happening, so this is secondhand, when governance would directly contact legislators, and I think even when they were in Juneau would go talk to legislators, and that created some problems because of the legislators noting that your public employees using, and in that case it may have been because they were coming to Juneau for you know, governance.
We're using funds to
You're supporting political activities with public money, and it may be worth just reaching out to some of those people involved. Suddenly I'm blanking on the Staff Alliance chair's name.
Monique
may know, and just to ask what they ran into, just to be aware that we don't end up shooting ourselves in the foot possibly by reaching out as a body instead of perhaps by reaching out as individuals, you know, on our own time.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe we can do a quick bit of research and then either update either way with an email within the next week about the proposed course forward.
Action, yeah.
I just want to make sure we don't drop this.
And I would love to bring this to Staff Alliance next week as well because I think our body is very active, and it is very active as part of Staff Alliance as well. But this has ramifications for all staff in the system around the state, and so I think the bigger the group, the more chance we stand to be heard. But thanks, yeah. We'll do some research to find out what's where we can stand there. But I think Staff Alliance would definitely be the place to kind of advocate for that. If we had a resolution here at UAF Staff Council, we could certainly bring that forward to Staff Alliance and go from there.
Yeah.
So if people are interested, then we will pursue that further this week. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, we're a bit over time already, but let's move on to internal committee reports. All of them have a written report, some of them annual reports, some of them monthly reports. I know Richard is not here. Trish is not here. Chris, are you still on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to add anything to your report?
Yes, sir. This is our report for our 3 months that we've been in session. Basically, in your handout, you'll see the list of members. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions concerning rural affairs, please. Happy to address them. We first met in February discussed. We basically had a discussion and overview of Rural Affairs Committee, selection of committee members and the chair. March 11th, discussed most of the major known issues that are both campuses and facilities, inclusive of both. One of the things that we did was we researched and documented rural campuses and facilities, which was quite a bit larger than expected as to the number of locations that we have rural representation. The mission of purpose for this is to open the lines of communication and assess and address the constituents' needs. So we pretty much got most of the contact information. We will not meet in May. We'll not meet this month. We'll meet next in June just to solidify some of these things, and we'll get a little bit more aggressive come the end of July and August, into August. So thank you, sir.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Chris. Jeff?
Our April report is attached, and we'll be meeting this Wednesday, May 6th, at 10 o'clock in room 330 of the Murray Building.
Excellent. And Nate?
Yeah, so I also have a report attached, and our next meeting is next week. The one thing from our last meeting that I would point out to people, to the full body here, is we are in charge this week of selecting the recipient for the Carolyn Sampson scholarship, which is sponsored by the UA Foundation, and we would invite anyone else who's, I mean, we're handling it as a committee, but we also welcome participation from anybody else who'd like to take part in that, and the two meetings that we'll be having this week to address that will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, and then Thursday at 1 p.m. We're going to meet twice this week just to make sure we can involve as many people as possible. So if you want to attend either of those meetings, get in touch with me. You can come and see me. Yeah, that's all.
Cool. Thank you. Any questions for our internal committee chairs? Okay. Moving forward, we've got an ad hoc committee, the Chancellor's Cornerstone Award, and the UA Staff Make Student Count Award. Jane's not here today, but I know they submitted, I think, three names for each to the Chancellor, and I know those awards will be – I know the Chancellor's Cornerstone Award is going to be awarded on the Staff Development Day. I don't know about the other one.
I think – oh, Nicole, you're about to answer it.
Yeah. It'll be it is – let me rephrase that. It is normally awarded at the June Board of Regents meeting.
Okay.
And we forwarded one name that the committee determined.
Cool. Okay. So that committee is done then at this point as well. So – I know Jen's not here, but anybody that was on that committee, thank you for doing the work on this, and thanks for forwarding some names there. And then for the external statewide committee reports, I don't think they've met, either one of them, at this point. And then I don't think the Staff Alliance Task Force for the review process or versus grievance process has met yet, right, Jeff? Okay.
No.
So none of those have met yet.
Chris?
Go ahead.
For the Staff Healthcare Committee, I just want to remind everybody that open enrollment is on May 15th.
Open enrollment until May 15th, is that what you said, Leslie?
Correct.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. And the external committee reports, which is the next one on the agenda, some of them have a written report added, but most of them did not meet. I see a report from the Master Planning Committee, but oh, that's Richard, so never mind. Anybody here that wants to add anything from the committee they're on?
Just real quick for the Fresh Air Campus Committee, there's not much new to report from last week. You should start seeing some more public displays. The big news is that the Alaska chapter of the American Lung Association has given a grant of some kind, but there's some money that's been made available to hire a student employee who's going to do wellness work with Department of Recreation, Adventure, and Wellness. And I think I'd understood there may be some money to partially fund a staff position, so there may be another employee working there. And the Lung Association really wanted to see student outreach, which was interesting to me because the Board of Regents made it very clear that their intention was health savings. They were thinking about employee health savings. But I would expect you'd probably see a lot more getting ramped up in the fall then. I think the summer is going to be pretty quiet.
Thank you, Brad. Anyone else? Anyone on the phone? Okay. Go ahead. Oh, all right. Last one, the TED group did not meet. Any update for that, Jess?
Yes. Our training and employee development survey closed
Friday
before last.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a great response. We had over 300, 200?
Well over 200.
Well over 200.
Yeah.
From employees, staff, faculty, and the results are being compiled and cleaned up first to kind of move forward so we can make recommendations for training that employees are interested in and to kind of start mapping out career development paths and things like that. So we're really happy to see all the responses. So thank you, everyone, for that.
Cool. Thank you. I think that's it for roundtable discussion.